The human body is often referred to as a machine, but the reality is that it's a fragile machine. When something seriously goes wrong, like the failure of a specific organ, that person is faced with a choice. Subject themselves to what's usually intense drug treatments and or frequent hospital stays, or an organ transplant. The second option has not always been an easy option to find. But in New Jersey, that fact is changing for the better. Glad to say my next guests are here to explain the importance of all this. Denise Peoples is an organ donor recipient who has become part of the New Jersey Sharing Network team. With her is the organization's president and CEO, Joe Roth. How are you today, folks?
We're terrific. Thank you. Yes, doing well.
Thank you.
And learn more about this issue that we are about to speak about with Joe and Denise, njsharingnetwork.org. And as I referred in the intro, Joe, the numbers and the trends, which are always more important, I say, it's nice to know where you are, but where you're heading is important to say. When it comes to organ donors and successful organ transplants, latest report, Joe, is showing that the numbers are indeed growing.
That's correct, Chris. They're growing both nationally and here in New Jersey. We're very proud of that effect. We're saving more and more lives every year. 2019 was an all-time record year for the Sharing Network, where we coordinated 206 organ donors, which led to 601 transplanted organs. And that's been a 38% increase over the last decade. So we're very proud of that effort.
And when you consider, too, a single donor could theoretically benefit many people, that just shows the importance of donating, doesn't it, Denise?
Yes, it does. One person can save up to 8 lives, which is amazing.
Well, talk about your story, because as I said, you are a donor recipient who became now an active part of the cause. Talk about your story.
Well, from Paterson, New Jersey, and, you know, always was active in everything in life. And all of a sudden, it kind of came to a screeching halt in 2001 when I started having problems breathing. Didn't know, you know, what was going on or why. Went to be evaluated and found out I had a disease called pulmonary fibrosis, and it was idiopathic because no one in my family has ever had it, and it's usually, well, back then, females didn't really get the disease that much, and it's usually an older white male who may, you know, get that disease. Now, things have changed, I've noticed, but back then in 2000, 2001, that was the case, and I am not an older white female, older white male. So it was idiopathic, and it really stopped life as I knew it. Everything kind of slowed down. My left lung was totally affected. The bottom of my right lung started to be affected by this disease, and I went to my pulmonologist, and we sat down and talked, and he said, well, I'm going to put you on oxygen. We're going to start at a certain amount, and it will increase. And this is a fatal disease, and you will need to have a transplant. I have been a donor on my driver's license since I got my driver's license, but I never thought I would have to be a recipient. And that was in 2000, I'd say the end of 2000, I was diagnosed. And then fast forward to 2006, by that time I was on about 15 liters of oxygen a day, 24 hours a day, about 102 pounds, couldn't work, just had to think about little things like getting up and going into the kitchen because every step took my breath. And October 2nd, 2006, early in the morning I got a phone call to come to the hospital because they had a match for me, and I went in, and 14 and a half hours later, I was in ICU. A couple days later, when I kind of got, you know, came to myself and woke up, I was breathing on my own, and it's been amazing since then. Right after I had the transplant, while sitting home, and just Googling, like, who orchestrates this stuff? How, you know, like, how does it happen here in Jersey? So I Googled and found New Jersey Sharing Network. Well, when I was able to go back out into the public, because you have to be very careful once you have a transplant, I was at, this dates it, Kinko's, And a young lady was making copies, and just so happens she works for the sharing network. And she was making copies of some flyers, and I asked her about it. I started volunteering. I volunteered for about 6 years, maybe about 5 or 6 years. And then they had an opening, and I applied, and it has been the best decision as far as employment is concerned, because it's definitely not a job.
No, it sounds like it. Well, for the obvious reasons, it's certainly a passion as far as you and really everyone else is concerned. We're talking with Denise Peoples and Joe Roth, who is the head of the New Jersey Sharing Network, and jsharingnetwork.org is her website, and listening to Issues and Ideas. Question for Joe. What Denise's story, how common is that becoming for organ donors? Because there's a lot of people on the waiting list in New Jersey.
Yeah, there's almost 4,000 people waiting in New Jersey, and as much as we are increasing the number of organs available for transplant, unfortunately there are still people dying waiting for that transplant. Sometimes it's just hard to find a match for them. Sometimes they get their health status deteriorates more rapidly than an organ can be made available. Our goal is to stop or, you know, significantly slow down deaths on the waiting list by increasing the number of organs available. And so we're working very hard at that, and it's bearing fruit, but there's still about every 3 days a person in New Jersey dies waiting for an organ. So we want to make that they never die waiting for an organ.
And I guess, Denise, too, that adds testimony to the fact that when you look at the fact that there's 2.5 million residents who are registered as organ and tissue donors, the matching process is so thread through the eye of a needle. I mean, there's no such thing in the medical profession with organ donors as, well, this will be good enough. It's got to be perfect.
Well, the match has to be perfect. The quality of the organ does not have to be perfect. And sometimes the centers, want to make sure that that patient gets the perfect organ so they won't have to deal with complications afterwards. The match has to be perfect. It has to match blood type. It has to match certain genetic characteristics of the donor and recipient. But that's done in a laboratory, and that happens, you know, that's the easy part once we have the organ available. It's, there are a lot of people with similar characteristics on the wait list, and so, you know, they have to allocate these organs based on certain characteristics, time waiting on the list, blood type, and so forth. So it's not a difficult process, but it does mean that some people may get the offer and some people may not.
For Denise, when you look at the fact that, okay, 2.5 million could be donors, want to be donors, but the match process, Denise, just isn't there yet. So it obviously means we have a need for more donors and people who are willing to. So talk about the registration process, because people think, well, what kind of difference can I make and how difficult is it? This could be a big difference through an easy effort.
Well, you know, it is a very rare gift. It's not something that, because it's on your driver's license or you have registered online or it's in your living will or advance directive, that it just happens. It is very, very rare. Less than 0.1% of all deaths actually go on to be organ donors. So it is it's a very hard pill to swallow. But it is the truth that not everyone that wants to be an organ donor actually becomes one. And those are the ways that you can register, and the registration is needed. Your driver's license, advance directive, your living will, online. Make your desire known to your family. That is a very important component of being an organ donor, and for the process to benefit both, not just the recipient, but that donor family. We deal with patients that they're not just your regular patients. There's a traumatic injury. There's something that has happened suddenly to someone in order for us to even be a part of the process. And with that, if a family has talked about it and the education is there, and they understand, you know, what a person's, you know, desire is and what they want, then that process will benefit that family. We've had many families that come to the Sharing Network. They talk to our hospital staff and say, this is what my loved one would want because we had this conversation. And it just makes sense because they're a giving person. They're a loving person. So we really have to make sure that our communities get the education in order for them to register and be able to make a conscious decision.
I think, too, just to wrap things up here, we all, to varying degrees, want to leave a legacy behind, whether it be money or property for the family. But when you think about it, what greater legacy can you have than providing life for another person?
Exactly.
It's in the donating, the becoming a donor process cannot be any easier, and you'll find out when you go to njsharingnetwork.org. That's the website for the New Jersey Sharing Network. You can learn more about what we've talked about here. I want to give you the heads up, too. The 2020 Donate Life Transplant Games, first time ever, will be taking place in New Jersey in July the 17th through the 22nd. You'll find out more as well at the njsharingnetwork.org. We've been talking with organ donor recipient, now a part of the NJ Sharing Network team, Denise Peoples, along with the organization's head and CEO, Joe Roth. Thanks so much for being here, guys, because you humanize the topic, and I think that's the motivator to get more people involved. So thanks for doing that, for being here today.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate the time. Anytime.